to put your thinking hats on. All right? I'm going to delve into a little philosophy first off. All right? Kind of cold to start that way, isn't it, Chuck? Okay? Is there such a thing as truth? One person. Anybody else agree with that? Good job. All right. If there is truth, what is it? There we go. Yeah. What God says and what God sees. All right. Since there is truth, and since that is what truth is, what God says and what God sees, there has to be a determination concerning truth. There is a standard. There is a measurement time, if you want to call it that. Now, what we're going to look at today in John chapter 12 is a statement that Jesus made, and he said, "Now is the judgment of this world." Judgment is the determination if truth has been experienced. That's how all this fits together. In the day in which you and I live, okay, you're in the minority if you say there is truth, okay? And you are certainly in the minority if you say that what God says and what God sees is truth. Because in this postmodern era that we live in, there is no truth. Truth is whatever I want to do. And so people practice what I call the "but I want to" sins. All right? But I want to. And you fill in the blank. There's nothing wrong with whatever, but I want to. And so the "but I want to" becomes the truth for that individual. And since that's not common among all, everybody does what is right in their own eyes. Does that make sense? So we're going to look at this issue of Jesus, a topic that Jesus brought up, and it's this phrase, "Now is the judgment of this world." So let's read four verses, I guess it'd be, 31, 32, 33, and 34, John 12. All right, as soon as I can find it, we will. All right. There we go. "Now is the judgment of this world." Jesus is speaking. "Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Verse 33, Jesus said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Let's look at these verses today. I don't remember what it was called. My wife told me about it. But there was a math program for teaching elementary children math. What was that called, Joanne? Are you even here? There you are. Okay. You're usually here, and I looked, and you weren't there, and I thought, uh-oh. And was it Saxon? Okay, there's a program called Saxon Math. It's really popular and effective. And the idea was you taught this concept, okay, and then you went to this concept, but you reviewed this concept. And you kept building and reviewing and building and reviewing and building and reviewing. Very effective way, because you reviewed what was before, you continuously did it, and the kids just got it. And so like brilliant educators out there, they said, "Let's do something else," even though that was working. All right? So that's what we're going to do here this morning. We're going to go back over some things that Jesus has established before we get into this whole issue of judgment this morning. That's where we're going, so hang on, all right? In verse 23, Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." In verse 28, God the Father said, "I have glorified my name, and I will glorify my name again." I can't think of very many things bigger than glorifying God the Son and God the Father. Can you? I mean, that's what it's all going to be about. That's what it's going to be about for eternity. And so both of them have said the same thing. That they both have said that they will be glorified. Now, what is it that's going to glorify them? The same action. The same thing that is going to glorify the Son is going to glorify the Father. They're on the same page. This big monumental deal of glorifying God the Father, God the Son is the same action. Now, they're not going to be glorified by some edict from Rome, the most powerful empire ever created up until that time. And certainly one of the most powerful in history as far as that goes. But they're not going to be glorified by some edict of Rome. They're not going to be glorified by the high priest of the Jews. It's Caiaphas at this time. And he's the big guy in the Jewish religion. He carries all the weight. But it's not going to be his action that brings glorifies God the Father and God the Son. It's not going to be a popular uprising of the people. It's not going to be some military conquest. They are going to be glorified, wait, by the Son of God dying on the cross for the sins of the world. That's what's going to bring them glory. Jesus is going to die on the cross, and that is going to bring glory to him and to his Father. You see, the Father and the Son are glorified by this action because it is their dispensing or dispersing of love and grace, which is what they are and what they do. Do you get that? I tell you what, I was almost Pentecostal, Brian, when I got to that this weekend there. You know, I thought, what could glorify the God of this universe? What could glorify the God of this universe? And that was it. The giving of who he is, love. And giving it to people who could never deserve it. That is grace. And that is glorifying the Father and the Son. You see, because this action that glorifies them is going to release people, you and I, from the death sentence that we deserve because of who we are, born into sin, and what we have done after we were born, continue to sin. It's only this. It's only this. Our greatest need is his greatest delight. And he glorifies his name, and God the Son glorifies his name by this. Now, in the context of this, we're still going back over. In the context of this glorification of God the Father and God the Son, you and I as human beings have two responses, potential responses. We can either love this life, Jesus said, or hate this life. That's the only two. That's the only response to this life, what you and I are doing, living every day, what millions, billions of people are right now and have through history, only two responses, love this life or hate this life. Now, the only way to access this love and grace that comes about from Jesus dying on the cross is to hate this life. If we love this life, we reject the love and grace, and we are lost in our sins for all eternity. eternally separated from God. Do you think that's a popular thought today? It's certainly not. It's certainly not. Now, stay with me. Love this life, hate this life. Who was the first person to do that? This is one of those things that you may think it's this, but I'm going to be safe and say Jesus deals, okay? Good choice. Isn't that what Jesus did? Wasn't he the first person to make this decision? He gave up his life. He hated his life. He gave up his fellowship with the Father, that which he had had from before the foundation of the world. You see, he did first what he expects us to do if we are going to live with him eternally. He hated his life. And because of that, he is glorified and the Father is glorified. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he was seated after he came and paid the price on the cross, rose again, ascended to heaven. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, that place of honor. And he will be glorified, he and the Father, throughout all eternity by the very ones that were redeemed because he hated his life and went to the cross. So, Jesus said to us last week, my wording for it, people who replicate that example determine their eternal residence, where they live for all eternity. That's the only way to live with him eternally, is to replicate what he did, i.e., hate this life. Those are found up in these earlier verses, if you weren't with us last week. So hating this life results in eternal life, and hating this life means that we serve Jesus by following him. If you're here this morning and you say, well, I want to serve Jesus, and you and I usually think of, well, teach this, serve on that. No. That's not how you serve Jesus, according to him. You serve him by following him. What did Jesus do when he was here? Okay? Will he do anything in 2015 that he didn't do when he was here? No. You serve Jesus, he said. You serve me by following me. Now, we've done this before, but we'll do it again, okay? Chuck always helps us, so he's good enough to do it again today. But if he was up here, okay, and he was standing here, and I was following Chuck, and Chuck turned left, and I turned right, would I be following him? No, that's senseless, okay? If Chuck jumped up and clicked his heels, which he can't do, okay, nor can I, okay, so we're safe there, but I'd be following him. I would be mimicking everything that he does. That's what we're talking about. Everything he is doing, I'm following him. That's all he's talking about. He's not talking about creating some brand new scheme or some brand new way of or that kind of thing. I'm glad we sang those songs. Andy skipped out on us, but I'm glad we sang some of those old songs. Those are my songs. Those are songs I grew up on. Right, Jerry? Huh? You bet. Ah, I love those. And Chuck and these guys, they grew up on that second set of songs, okay? I'm here to tell you there's a third set. Yeah, in the smoke and laser light church a few weeks ago, I'm looking out there at those words. Man, I've never seen those things before. I didn't know, The kids here, they say, oh, we need to sing the modern songs. Ah, those old songs. Okay. Well, we won't go there. Okay. All right. But it doesn't require some new something. should we be doing anything different than Jesus did when he was here? No. I'm not sure we can do anything different than Jesus did when he was here and call it Jesus. Really? So if you're looking for some new, modern, whatever, I don't know what that is. I know there's a lot of abuse out there today of people who are trying to create new stuff, okay? That's not Jesus. The evidence, Jesus said, of whether a person has hated this life or served Jesus and served Jesus, hated this life and served Jesus, is where I am. That's the address that you want to make reservations for. Where I am, he said. And if you have hated this life, if you have followed Jesus or served Jesus by following him, that's your residence. You want in on that one? Okay. Kelly and I are going, okay? All right. We got room, all right? I'm not looking for amens. I just want to make sure you are in, all right? Okay? So that's your residence. Jesus said it up there. And how's the Father going to respond to you if you are where I am? He's going to honor you. God of the universe is going to honor those who serve Jesus by following him and are with him where he is. All right, that's all review. Okay? Did somebody say amen to that? Okay. All right. That's all reviewed. Now, to that phrase we started with, and we'll move a little faster from here. Now, the time frame, okay? Now. He's been dealing with this, and he says, now is the judgment of this world. There's that word we don't like in this day and time. We don't like the word judge. Don't you judge me. Don't you judge me kind of deal. All right? Well, I'm not, but he is or will. All human beings are impacted. Bible scholars, stay here, okay? All human beings are impacted by three judgments. You thought I was going to say two, didn't you? And you know those two. We'll get to those. But there's three judgments. There is, in verse 31, Jesus called it the judgment of this world. That's a judgment. Now it is. Now is the judgment of this world. And it is a time when Satan is defeated. Read it back there with me in verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world. Who's that? Satan, the prince of the power of the air. Now is the judgment of this world. Satan is going to be defeated. He's going to be knocked off his throne. And, he goes on, of this world, will be cast out. He'll be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Now stay tuned here. Because if you read through that in a passive fashion, will draw all people to myself. Then is he saying everybody's going to be saved? We know other scripture that would refute that, don't we? What's he saying here then? All right, hang on to this, okay? This does not mean all as everybody. What this means, all kinds of people. All kinds of people. Without distinction. You don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to be a Jew to be in the all. Gentiles can be in the all also. So, not everybody, but all kinds of people without distinction. Not all members of the human race without exception. Universal in scope, but not universal in application. Okay? Now, what does it mean that when he is lifted up? Did you notice that the people here understood exactly what he was talking about? You know, today, if somebody said, well, I'm all in, okay, everybody knows what that is, all right? Well, in this time, when he said, I am lifted up, they knew what that was, crucifixion. They knew. All right, that's the first judgment, the judgment of this world when Satan is judged based upon the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for the sins of the world. Now, Bible scholars, you can step up here, okay? The second judgment, and not in this, I mean, there are two other judgments, and now this is based on who you are, okay? A second judgment, that's the first, the second judgment is the judgment seat of Christ, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is for those who have hated this life and who have served Jesus by following him. And only that group. And only that group. That is the judgment seat of Christ. Works are judged, not sin. You can read over there and you can study it, and there is no judgment of sin at the judgment seat of Christ described in 1 Corinthians 3. Sin is not even on the table. It's not even an issue. Because why? You don't have any. If you're at the judgment seat of Christ, the reason that sin is not a topic or even considered is because there isn't any. Wow! Forgiven. Forgotten. Forever. And not based on what you and I have done, but only based on what he did as he hated his life and gave it for the sins of the world. Now this time the Calvinists and Arminians will split camps on this, okay? If you are leaning to the Calvinist side, you would say the sins of only the people who believe. We're not getting into those weeds today, okay? You see what I'm saying? We won't go there, all right? But I know this, if you're at the judgment seat of Christ, your sins are forgiven. They're not even a part of it. So what's being judged? Read over there and study it, that which you have done as a follower of Jesus Christ. But you in no way can lose the salvation that he earned for you. You can't lose it. It's based on his act of love and grace. And you cannot lose it, but what you have done as a follower, back up in that earlier passage, the one who serves, he serves by following, or she, okay, what you have done in that is what will be judged. And what you and I have done, whatever, is going to be tried as by fire. And if it survives, there's a reward. If it's burnt up, no reward but life eternal. That's a pretty good reward to me. I'm in for that one too, okay? Don't you want to have something to cast at his feet? Huh? We can't even go there, hardly. I grew up poor. Really poor, okay? And I can remember before free lunches and all that kind of stuff, you know, I can remember going to school and not having the 2 cents for the chocolate milk. Okay? And so I'd take my brown bag lunch and eat it without anything to drink, no milk or anything, because I didn't have the 2 cents. And you go up there and pay the lady behind the counter at the cafeteria, you want milk? No. Go over there and eat my lunch, no milk. I just didn't have it. I don't want to be like that at his throne. How many crowns, Lord, can I give you to say thank you for what you've done for me? And cast them at his feet. I'm caught up in this today, folks. That's something that just takes me to another place. Wow. All right, you want to be at this judgment. And that is where you are going if you have hated this life and serve him by following him. Can't change. Done deal. The third judgment, you don't want to be here. Revelation 20 talks about the great white throne judgment. Good works don't matter here. They're not even mentioned. The books are open, it talks about, but it's only about those sins that have not been paid for. And sin that has not been paid for, has to be paid for by the person that's at the great white throne judgment. And he, Jesus, will look at every person who steps up to that time of judgment. And he'll look at all the things that's been done. And then he will look for that other book, the book of life. And if your name is not written in the book of life, which he knows it's not, or you wouldn't be at the great white throne, he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. All right. Now is the judgment of this world. Let's look at this concept of judgment real quickly, okay? There's something I'll call the context of judgment. Judgment is a decision, a response, by one with the authority to act and the power to carry out the rendered decision. Got that? There is a context to judgment. There is a time when judgment occurs. There is one who does the judging. There is one who is being judged. And there is a place where the judgment occurs. That's the context. All right, in this one that we're considering today, in this passage, God is the judge. He's the one doing the judging, okay? The one being judged is the ruler of this world and the result of what he brought into God's creation, which was sin. The action taken is to be cast out. Satan is dethroned. He's cast out. He's no longer in control. He's defeated. The time, Jesus said, is now. What's happening now when Jesus is saying this? What's the now? In a few hours, what's the now? He's going to die on the cross. That's the now. That's the now. The time is now. And the location is the cross. This is that judgment, the judgment of this world. Now, secondly, that's the context. Secondly, I want us to look at, I thought there's a hand. I said, yeah, we're sweetheart, you can raise your hand anytime in this place, okay? All right. wow, you can't do that at the Laser Church. I know that, okay? All right. I'm going to get in trouble for that yet, aren't I? Okay. Hey, think about this for a minute. Let's look at the collateral outcomes of the judgment. I had to have a C word. That was as good as I could get, okay? The collateral outcomes of judgment. What happened as a result of this judgment? Think about this, folks. I'm a history kind of guy, okay? The history of the world for 4,000 years. And I'm here to tell you that's all that was. 4,000 years. The history of the world for 4,000 years is going to change at the end of this week when Jesus said now. The history of 4,000 years is going to be fundamentally and foundationally and forever changed. Now is the judgment of this world. The potential outcome for the actions and activities of all people will be changed. You see, the scripture says that death reigned from Adam to Moses. That means if you lived from the time of Adam to Moses, death reigned. There was no salvation for sin. The law is not yet. Death reigned. And those people who died at that time, the righteous went to paradise, and the unrighteous went to Sheol. Okay? The Sheol is the place of the dead, torments. Okay? Sheol is the place, paradise, or torments. All right? But death reigned. The law came. The law came, given by God, and for a select group of people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they could momentarily, temporarily, have sin forgiven, individual sins forgiven, by the sacrifice of an animal or grain offering or whatever it was. All right? Now is the judgment, the potential outcome for all people, for all time, is changed. Everybody. You want to talk about a paradigm shift? This is it. The potential outcome for the actions and activities of all people will be changed. The authority structure of the earth and the authority of human beings and the authority over human beings will be forever changed. Nobody could just go to God before this event. God could come to them, and he did in the Old Testament times, but the only way people could go to God at that time was through a priest. And I think it's so tragic that one of the most populated Christian denominations of this world still depend on a priest going to God on their behalf. I just think that's shackled, okay? Carl, you're a priest. Excuse me this morning for not priest Carl. Yeah. Priest. That's what the scripture calls us. Those of us who have believed, those of us who serve him by following him, we can go to God without anybody going between. And praise God, at his right hand is Jesus Christ the intercessor. So if we kind of mumble around, Jeff, and flub it up a little bit, I don't know what it looks like. Jesus said, Lord, or Father, what he meant to say was. Okay? Yeah. That changed today, in the day that Jesus is talking about. In just a few hours on Friday, he's going to the cross. That's going to change. Most importantly, the Son of Man will be glorified. He has not been glorified yet. He hasn't died yet. But he is going to be glorified. Instead of whom? Who has been glorified up to this hour? That's right. Satan. That's the reason he fell, remember? He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be glorified. And he had been controlled. He had just knocked out God's greatest creation, man and woman. He's being glorified. But now, he is judged and is now condemned, not glorified. Jesus is now glorified. Sin will be atoned for, neutralized, rendered powerless. The instigator of sin is cast out. God will be glorified, his creation released from the power of sin, death, hell, and the grave. All of that took place in the now time that Jesus is talking about. You want to talk about a transformation that occurred right here. It's this action of judgment that was causing Jesus all that agony. It's this that caused him that agony. Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. What he's saying is, Lord, I don't want to go through with this. But that's the reason I came. Glorify your name. You see, Jesus must take the judgment that his Father is going to mete out. He has to because of who he is. Because he establishes truth. Truth is what he says. And anything that deviates from that truth has to be judged. And Jesus said, judge me instead. Put it on me. Jesus took the judgment of his Father intended for those who possess a sin nature. Those who chose sin, Jesus took it. He'll be judged for what he didn't even do. And he did it willingly and voluntarily. And when he is lifted up, he will draw all people to myself, he said. And we've already talked about all means all universal, but all kinds, not all people. We touched on that just a second ago. All right, let's close with this then. How many times have we closed today, Chuck? Is that about three maybe? Okay. The confusion related to this judgment of the world. The confusion. Did you see it there? So the crowd answered him in verse 34. We have heard from the law. Now the law here would be the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. But also the Psalms, also what the prophets had said. So it's when they say law, they're talking about more than just those first five books, okay? Truly, we have heard the law, and here's what they said, okay? That the Christ remains forever. They're confused. Jesus has just told them this most profound thing, that he's going to be lifted up. They knew that meant crucifixion. He's going to die. He's going to be lifted up. And so they said, wait a minute. You almost got us. We were thinking you were the Christ there for a while. But they said, the law, the Christ remains forever. You can't be the Christ, therefore. What confused them? Their religion. Their religion. You know where I'm going, don't you? Would you say there would be anybody today that's confused by their religion? Oh. It's one of the greatest confusers of all time. Well, I'm a Baptist and Baptists believe. Or, you know, I'm Pentecostal and Pentecostal believe. Well, I'm Methodist. And I know what Methodists believe. And on it goes. All the denominations. Then we throw in the Muslims and the Hindus and all those people. Folks, one of the greatest confusers of our time and has been for history is religion. These folks missed. They got the reservation at the great white throne. All because religion confused them. Reject what your religion says unless it is verified by the Word. If there is a disagreement between the Word of God and what your religion purports, choose the book. You with me? And I'm not supporting any denomination. I'm just saying go to the book instead of the culture or the religion or whatever. There are going to be a lot of religious people at the Great White Throne Judgment. A lot. Billions. Sincere. Dedicated. Follow the religious edicts to the detail. But they're going to be at the Great White Throne Judgment. We've we've heard from the law, Christ remains forever. That's a true statement, isn't it? Yes, it is. Then where was their point of error? Where was their point of error? They thought it meant the earth. The Old Testament spoke of the Christ living forever, for sure. But not on the earth. Not on the earth. In His heaven. Eternal in the heavens. And that's where... do you see that little misunderstanding? Cost them everything. Jesus has just given them the key to eternal life, and they missed it. Because they thought one little prepositional phrase, on earth, is what? That was their mind frame. That's why they're getting interested. Hey, here comes Messiah. Yeah. And He's going to elevate us up, and we're going to take over the Roman Empire or whatever else, you know, whatever their deal was that day. No. You know why? Take this home with you. They interpreted truth by their experience and not by God's Word. It doesn't matter what your experience is, folks. Don't interpret what God is saying and doing by your experience. You'll get in a lot of trouble with that. It'll cost you big time. Base it on what He says. That's true. Totally confused. And they're going to miss the judgment seat of Christ and be at the great white throne judgment because they're confused. Now here's a sobering thought. And I was so overwhelmed by it, I had to write it down, okay? You and mine, your judgment may be hours away. Just like Jesus' judgment here was only hours away, yours, mine, may be hours away. Ooh. Well, don't I have 40 years left? I hope not, okay? Hours away. It's possible that some of you will get in a car and your judgment will be before the Mexican restaurant. That's the immediacy of this thing that we're talking about. And you can't change it. Then you can only change it now. Your judgment, my judgment, may be just hours away. Because when we die, or when He comes, that seals our judgment. Your response to the judgment of this world determines which one of those judgments you're going to experience. Now the folks in this crowd ask a question. Who is this Son of Man? Real important question. Who is this Son of Man that Jesus used, the title that He used for Himself, or description? We're going to have to pick that up next week, okay? And we're going to answer that question as we look at Jesus, what He says here. Who is this Son of Man? Because your answer to that question and my answer to that question also determines where we are judged. Let's pray. Father, we're uncomfortable with this idea of judgment. Most of the world wants nothing to do with it. In fact, they blaspheme it. And you find that amusing in a sense, because you know it doesn't matter what we think or what we have concluded. All that matters is what you said. And you've established that every person that you created, and that would be everybody, is going to face judgment in their future. So whether we like it or not, it is. And I pray, Father, that every person in these chairs this morning know beyond a shadow of a doubt which judgment that they will participate in. Oh, I pray you'll bring confirmation, Holy Spirit, even now to the hearts and minds of every person. And if anyone is uncertain, doesn't know, maybe the first time they've ever even heard about these two judgments, if Father, they wouldn't get in that car until that is settled and they have a peace that passes understanding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you did on the cross. In Jesus' name. You come this morning, 5:00.